Romans chapter 10, 14 through 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This morning we're going to be talking for a few minutes on glad tidings. On last week we had to discuss a few things that were important, and I wanted to shift gears, if you will, going the other direction. And when we consider glad tidings, especially as God has defined it, Romans 10 is so powerful. In that, we find the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. If you're taking notes, Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. Acts 9, verse 15. And as Paul is writing to the church at Rome, even though the Jews were beneficiaries of this letter, his main aim was to the church, or the Gentiles of the church. We take notice of Romans chapter 1 and verse 13, and Romans chapter 11 verse 13, and Romans chapter 15 verse 15 and 16. And the reason why I bring you those three sets of passages is because the Apostle Paul has his focus on the Gentiles. Yet, again, the Jews were beneficiaries of this great letter. And so when we consider him addressing the church at Rome, it had Jews and Gentiles in this particular congregation. And as he is writing to them, he is giving them evidence upon evidence that the gospel system of righteousness is the way that all men should go by. We know for a fact that the Jews had a struggle with leaving the Mosaical system. As a matter of fact, it would be Paul in Romans chapter 4, I'm just talking right now, we'll get to the lesson here in a few minutes. In Romans chapter 4, he brings up Abraham. He brings up Abraham as one who was justified by faith, never been under the law. And so he brings up Abraham in a very powerful way, that if a man or a person could be justified, never having been under the law, that means someone can be justified not being under the law today. And so that's Paul's main point as it relates to bringing up Abraham in Romans chapter 4. And so when he brings up Romans chapter 5 and 6, he is talking about how one is justified by righteousness. No wonder Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, when we consider the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. As it is written, the just shall live by their faith. And so he brings up these powerful points as it relates to justification, being declared right. It's interesting that people try to declare themselves right, not even being under any type of law, saying that I don't have to do anything to be right before God. As long as I'm a good person, I'm right before God. But friends, when we consider the righteousness of God involves the gospel system. And no wonder Paul would say that the power is in the gospel. And that's the good news. That's the glad tidings that Paul was preaching. But then Paul had to deal with these Jews, if you will, because they were still trying to justify themselves by the law of Moses. Three passages I want to give you. Don't have time to look too deeply into them, but three sets of passages. Number one, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14. Paul would tell the Roman brethren there that they were dead to the law. They were not under the law. And then in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4, he would say that you are dead to the law. So Romans 6:14, you're not under the law. Romans 7 verse number 4, you're dead to the law. And then here in Romans 10 and verse number 4, he says Christ is the end of the law to righteousness. Do you see those three quick points right there? So here we see that Paul says that you're not under the law, but under grace. And then Romans 7 verse number 4, you're dead to the law that you may bring forth fruit unto God. And then in Romans 10 and verse number 4, Christ is the end of the law. And so when Christ died on the cross, remember when he said in John 19 and verse number 30, it is finished. Y'all remember those great words? He nailed that law to the cross. Let me say this real quick. When we consider the three dispensations, three time periods, we consider the patriarchal system. Now, this is important right here. We consider when God spoke to the fathers from the book of Genesis to Exodus chapter 24. And then we consider when God spoke to the people, Israel, through Moses, Exodus 24 to John chapter 19, verse 30. And then from John 19, verse number 30, man is under the law to Christ. And so here, from the time in which Jesus said, it is finished, and then remember what he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And that prayer was answered in Acts chapter 2 when the gospel was being preached and 3,000 souls were saved, were baptized. They received the gospel. They received the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. And this particular gospel is going to continue to the end of the age. So we have it broken down in threes. Genesis chapter 1 to Exodus 24. Exodus 24 to John 19, 30. John 19, 30 to the end of time. And here we have Paul preaching this gospel, and he's telling these Jews that, hey, you're not under the law of Moses anymore. You're under the law of righteousness. You're under the law to the gospel. And that's the glad tidings. That's the good news. And when I was considering some of the points that I wanted to bring up, I thought about glad tidings. Good news. In a time in which we live in today where there is so much negativity, oh friends, this is where the church of our Lord comes into the world, and we tell them that there is good news even in the midst of all of the bad news that is around us, that we have Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, who he himself came and he preached the glad tidings. Let's take a little perusal through the scriptures real quick. I want us to go to the book of Isaiah real quick. Turn to the book of Isaiah and let's begin at chapter 52. Let's begin there and we'll look at some things, because I want us to pick up on Jesus Christ. And we'll get to Romans chapter 10 here in a few minutes. In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 7, we see something very powerful. As a matter of fact, as I was doing some doodling in my Bible, I put amen to this verse. And the reason why is because of what it said. How beautiful upon the mountain, upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news. Every time I turn on the news, there's bad news. When you look at your news feed, there's bad news. There's always something negative. But friends, when we go to the Bible, when we go to the Word of God, when we think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross by shedding his blood and establishing the church and giving us eternal life and the hope of eternal salvation, friends, that's good news. That's good news for us. And so notice what he goes on to say. Who proclaim peace. You could put Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 14 in your Bible. Who brings glad tidings of good things. Now, as I was considering that, I thought about that dark day when Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross. I thought about that dark day. And I thought about how when he died on the cross and they took him down off that cross, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nathanael, I believe it was, went to the individuals to ask for the body of Jesus Christ. And they put his body in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And you remember the attitude and the mentality of the apostles and the disciples. They were very sad. And then 3 days later, we find Jesus Christ raised from the grave. And you remember what it said when those angels who were sitting there, why are you looking for the living among the dead?
You remember those great words? And here we find Jesus as he appears to Mary and Martha, as he appears to Mary, as he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and then he appears to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through verse number 16. And then he tells his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the euangelion. Preach the good news. What good news is that, Jesus? That death, the grave, and hell does not have dominion over me. Preach that good news. Preach the glad tidings. Oh, it may be good news to buy a house. It may be good news to buy a new car. It may be good news to get a good job. But friends, it's good news that Jesus Christ raised from the grave. That's good news right there. And so here, Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Preach the good news that it doesn't matter what you're going through, that I can help you get to eternal life. But then notice what he says as we finish up Isaiah 52, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 68 and verse number 11? He says, the Lord gave the word, and great are those who publish it. It's the Lord that gave God's word. It is the Lord that gave us salvation and gave us the ability to even think about his word in order for us to apply it to our lives, that we may go out and be a beacon of light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, Philippians 2 verse 15. But then turn to Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, as we get closer and closer to the point that I was making, that not only Paul preached glad tidings, but Jesus did. Jesus preached glad tidings. And over the last few months, I've been taking a class on hermeneutics from Joshua Rodriguez in California. And I have grown to appreciate, Brother Royce, that the Bible itself appeals to itself, that I don't have to go to man in order to explain what God says. That I can actually go to the very mind of God and watch how Paul and Jesus and Peter and Mark applies the scriptures to the scriptures or the situation at hand. I was amazed to see some of the things that the Bible is teaching. In Isaiah chapter 61, starting at verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has appointed me. He has given me the duty to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we pick up Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, good news is exactly that. It's good news. Many of us have our own definition of good news. But if you want glad tidings, if you want good news, if you want those who are around you, starting in your house, remember I made the comment before, why go to El Salvador if you haven't been next door? We ought to give good news to our own children in our homes. We ought to be spreading good news to our spouses. We ought to be spreading good news to those who are our cousins. Why? Because this is good news. And so Jesus, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. And he applies, Brother Royce, that particular passage in Isaiah 61 to his situation right then. He makes application right then. And you know what that ought to teach us? that wherever God makes the application, that's where we ought to make the application. And notice in Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 16, Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as a custom, notice what the Bible says, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, Jesus did not have a book like what we have right here. He had a scroll. And he opens up that scroll. And he searches in that scroll. And he finds the place. The word for found, there is a powerful word. We get our English word eureka right there. It's interesting. Eureka! Royce, what does that mean? Wow! I found it! Now, some would say, well, Jesus is God. He didn't have to say wow. But the Bible uses the word eureka. Found it. And he begins to read where it was written. Quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and following. Jesus speaks. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And notice what Jesus says here, James Clark. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus takes Isaiah chapter 61 and he applies it to the situation right there. Can you imagine when Isaiah prophesied by inspiration to say what he said in Isaiah chapter 61 to Jesus Christ right here? It's powerful because here Jesus used that same scripture as he applies it, and he says that I'm here to do something great, to help people out, to give glad tidings. Here was going to be a message that delivers, 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. It was going to be a message that was going to be direct, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It was going to be a message that was going to be doctrinal, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. Oh, friends, did you get that? Good news is not the things that we see materially. Good news is the message of Jesus Christ. It's the message of a man that died on the cross. And no wonder the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, turn your Bibles there. It's amazing as I was thinking about this more and more and the glad tidings that God has given us. We come across Paul, and Paul was really trying hard to give the Jews this good news, these glad tidings, if you will, to the point in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through verse number 3, his heart hurt for his brethren. His kinsmen in the flesh who are Israelites. They didn't want to heed, Brother Estes, to Jesus Christ as salvation, as justification. And so when you get to Romans chapter 10, he says something very powerful. My brethren, the Israelites, according to the flesh, not according to the spirit, they have rejected the righteousness of God. They have rejected the glad tidings of God, and they have gone about to establish their own righteousness. The more I thought about this, the more I was thinking about people I come across every day. I go to the YMCA maybe 5 days a week, and I'm always looking for somebody to talk to. But there's always one or two that you just can't seem to crack the door open, if you will. They won't let you in. They don't want to talk Bible. They don't want to talk morality. They don't want to talk spiritual things. And sometimes my conscience bothers me. Am I going to be held accountable for that? I know I'm not, but my conscience bothered me. Just like Paul's conscience bothered him about his brethren, the Israelites, our conscience ought to bother us sometimes because people won't let us in to give them the good news. And it's good news, friends. And so notice what Paul says in the first four verses as he deals with the stubbornness of the Jews. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they all might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. There are many in our world today. Here we're trying to give them good news. Tell them about the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That you can really live a moral life. John 10 and verse 10. For the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God says you can have the abundant life, a great life. You can have a good marriage. You can have good kids. You can do things that are spiritual. But it's going to take some work and it's going to take the word of God applied to your life. The more I thought about that, you have these Jews who are trying to establish their own way of righteousness, their own way of justifying themselves before God. And people do that today. And no wonder religions just run rampant. And here we come with good news. You remember what was said about Jesus in John 1? That light came into the world and the darkness did not comprehended, didn't receive it, didn't allow it to penetrate. And friends, the good news of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God, no wonder Jesus would say on one occasion in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness, not our own. And so as we're living in this world, we have a responsibility to take the glad tidings to the world. But notice verses 5 through verse number 13. Here, Paul, as he grabs scriptures by inspiration from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through verse 14. And as he is bringing the passage from Deuteronomy chapter 30, and he's applying it to the situation right here. Apparently, there must have been some people who were saying, well, if somebody goes up to heaven and bring Christ down, then I'll listen. If someone goes down into the depths and bring Christ up, then I'll listen. It's already been done. He says, the word is near unto thee, and people want that today. It's interesting. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as I begin to make some type of closing remarks, we find something very interesting in verses 18 through verse 25. I wish I had time to really look at this with y'all. But when we stop and we consider that the Jews were looking for a sign, verse 22. The Gentiles, the Greeks, were looking or seeking after wisdom. But Paul says something in verse 23 that's powerful. But we preach Christ crucified. We preach glad tidings. We preach good news. And Brother Teddy, when Jesus Christ was on that cross and he was crucified, it hurt him, it hurt God, but it was good news for us. Why was that good news for us? No longer do we have to remain in sin. No longer do we have to be fishing in the dark for some type of righteousness. We have it. And so the Jews were looking for something miraculous. The Gentiles were looking for something mystical. And here Paul, by inspiration, says the only thing we have is a message. The message of Jesus Christ. And when we go to the world in which we live in, go back to Romans chapter 10. Friends, all we have is the gospel. All we have is the word of God. And so look at verse number 8. In verse number 8, we see something very powerful. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Now notice the parenthetical statement. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's interesting. Paul, these glad tidings, this good news that we have, is what you're preaching? Yes. I'm not pulling this out of my mind. I'm not pulling it out of my hat. I'm not making this up as I go. I'm telling you what God has said. Now that's a good lesson for us as preachers. We have about 6 preachers here and we're blessed. And every time one of them get up into this pulpit, man, they're preaching the word. They're not preaching what they think. They're not preaching what they seemingly believe. Friends, they're preaching glad tidings. They're preaching the good news. They are preaching a liberating gospel, as Jesus would say in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. But notice what he goes on to say in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, this is interesting. That's good news there. Can you imagine the Jew and Gentile mindset of a man going to the cross and being buried and God raising him up? Is it some amazing thing that God can raise the dead? Paul would tell Agrippa, I believe it is. Is that something amazing? Yes, it's amazing. And friends, I need to do a better job of making sure that we see the amazing aspect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that's an amazing thing. If we're not careful, we'll make the resurrection some common thing. And there's nothing common about it. And nothing common about it, because when Jesus Christ comes back one day, and he will come back, every ear will hear him, every eye will see him, everyone that's in the grave will be raised up, John 5, 28 and 29, and they'll stand before Jesus. That's a good day. Oh, I can't wait for that day. I can't. Brother Chad led us in a song, our name is written in the what? Book of Life. And we sung it aloud. I know it's there. I know it's there. If it's there, you're waiting for that day. You can't wait for that day. That's a day of good tidings. But notice what he goes on to say. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture, now notice this, says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Here, Paul goes to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Friends, do you know that the very fact that you're a Christian, you're a member of the Lord's church, you're faithful to Almighty God, that there is no reason for you to be ashamed? There's no reason for you to even look back and say, you know what, I made some horrible mistakes. Question, did God forgive you for those things? The answer is yes, that's glad tidings. And that's the message that we're taking to the world. Because those in the world, just like we have, made some horrible mistakes. But we can go out and we can tell them, do you know that God can forgive you for that? Do you know that you don't have to have the guilt of sin anymore? That you don't have to be carrying that around anymore? Really? I don't have to carry this around anymore? Even if you're in prison, do you know that you can be forgiven for what you have done and that you can go to heaven? That's good news. That's good news. And no wonder he quotes Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 16. For those who believe on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Now notice this real quick. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't have time to really delve too deeply into this, but put it in your Bible, Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Put that in your Bible, and I want you to go and you study that, because every time in Acts 22, 16 and 17, every time you see this phrase used, you know what's connected to it? Baptism. Calling upon the name of the Lord always results in one being saved. Why? Because Ananias, I'll get it right, told Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Calling on the name of the Lord. Washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There it is. And so God is actually teaching us that there's good news in the righteousness of God. But now notice verse 14 through 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? I made a comment in the college class this morning. When Moses went to God in Exodus chapter 3, he said, when I go to the children of Israel, who do I say sent me? And God answered and said, I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. And I made the comment that, unfortunately, especially in the religious world, we have many that have went but haven't been sent. And there are a lot of preachers that have went, but God has not sent them. Because when God sends, he sends them with one message. And that's the message of truth. That's the message of deliverance. That's the message of hope and salvation and eternal life. And so when we consider this, notice what he says. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach. Preach. So I was thinking about this. I thought about the beauty of preaching. And how in First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Turn there real quick. Let me show you this passage. I'm almost done. I'll let you go right on time before y'all don't have no lubies here, so. Look at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, notice what he goes on to say. Drop down to verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It is, matter of fact, go up to verse 21. That's what I was looking for. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Now notice this passage here. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. You know, I was thinking about this and how God wants sound preaching, Titus 2:1, and that he wants the pulpit to be a balanced place, a place where reproving and rebuking, but exhortation is done as well. And in the preaching, I put in my notes, go a while without a gospel preacher and see what will happen to the church. You know, there are some that they just don't have a lot of respect for preachers. I can understand that in one way, but when a man is preaching the gospel message and the messenger ought to be looked at with great respect. It's unfortunate that many preachers who are not preaching the gospel, they get a lot of respect. But those who are preaching the gospel, they're ridiculed. But that comes with the territory. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Good tidings, glad tidings. Friends, as you go out into the world, I want you to do one thing. Tell people about the good news of the gospel. Friends, it is good news. It is good news that people can actually have a better life all behind this great book that God has left us. His word, his mind. We can have better lives. It's good news to know that I can change my way of living when I change my way of thinking. That's good news. And it's unfortunate that people want a good life, but bad thinking. They don't go hand in hand. Oh, I'm not talking about a good life as relates to your financial stability. I'm talking about a good life as it relates to your spiritual stability. For we know that everything in this world, in this earth, is going to be burned up. It's going to be no more. Yet, this word
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. And so when we consider the good news of Jesus Christ, I want us to be considering talking to people more and more about how they can have a good life and bring them good news. And so on your news feed, on your Facebook feed, when someone is saying something negative, put something positive. Try that. I was looking at something just the other day, last night to be exact. And it had everything to do with nutrition. They say, eat this way for 21 days. And you'll change your way of thinking on how you eat. You know, that is true. But it's true spiritually, too. It really is. And the hardest thing to do sometimes is take this good news and think about it 21 days straight. Because sometimes we get negative, sometimes we have negative attitudes. What happens? But don't forget the good news. So I'll leave you with this. Are you going to be good news for someone this week? Say yes. But it's going to take some discipline, some humility, some meekness. But we have good news in our hands. So let's take the good news to the world that we live in. And I guarantee you, you do that 21 days straight, you'll be alright. God bless you. God keep you. Let us stand. If you are not a child of God, we want you to consider, let's stand. Obey the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Understand what you need to do in order to be saved. So maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been too positive. You haven't been taking the good news? Let's start doing that. There's always something to be negative about. There's always something to gossip about. There's always something to be critical about. Let's stop that. Let's speak a good news out here. As we say in the program.